Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for once again blessing us and having us come together on your Sabbath day. We thank you for blessing us with your Holy Spirit and the hedge of angels that you have about us, especially all week long that got us here today. We thank you for blessing the reading of the Word and for bridling my tongue so that only your truth comes forth. We thank you also, Father God, for all the souls that are here and those that should be here. We pray for them especially our loved ones that are lost, and for all those loved ones that are on the internet listening as well. And we thank you for giving us salvation in your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I like that song that we had beforehand, that wonderful piece. Because that is an amazing thing, to go through persecution and still have that peace. I don't know if everybody has read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, but some of the reports about how those people went to their deaths, and some of them had smiles on their faces, it's amazing to see. The scripture reading that we started off with is pretty intense, to say the least. I mean, we all know there's a lot of scriptures that speak of the persecution that we will see as Christians. And I hope to illustrate briefly why attacks like this are common in history as well as today. And we're going to see a lot more soon. I'm not going to get into any things that, we may see in the future. I just want to share some stuff that I've seen myself. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, everybody is always, well, they're already aware anyway, in regards to my case, that I was raised a Catholic. So was my wife. As a matter of fact, the majority of our children, I think Lee is the only one that, I'm not sure. I think it was like Courtney Down. We were out of the Catholic Church. So yeah, okay. But I'm still thinking of the Babylonian issues that we were trying to get out of. Even though we were out of the Catholic Church, we still had some of those Babylonian things that we were doing. And then many also know that when I became an adult, that I was fairly active in the Catholic Church. I was a Eucharistic minister for our church. And for those that don't know what that is, you just stand in front of the church with the host, those little round wafers with the sign of Baal on one side and the IHS on the other side. And you're not allowed to give it to anybody unless they say Body of Christ. And I say Body of Christ, they have to say Amen. Otherwise, they're not getting it. That's the way it was set up. Or the wine. And by the way, I was doing a study in regards to wine in the scriptures. Wine is symbolic of the blood of Christ. Wine that has alcohol in it has already been fermented. The yeast is already starting to rot. That can't symbolize his blood. But yet, they have this wine in some churches, this real wine, that's showing a corrupted Christ, or an anti-Christ, is what they're having communion with. The last couple of years, I think it was the last 2 years before I left the Catholic Church, I went to Mass every morning, said the rosary every day, and taught CCD to the kids, and stuff like that. And I also was a bit involved in evangelizing for the Catholic Church, but I say a bit involved because you never really went out pushing your faith when you were a Catholic. It was more or less just that people gravitated towards the church because sin is enticing. When you mix truth with error, it's going to be enticing. So you have plenty of opportunities to, fill a church. And 9 times out of 10, and I know you remember this a couple times, when we would get into discussions about religion, because I wouldn't consider it evangelizing, it would always end in arguments. Whenever I would evangelize someone in regards to my Catholic faith, it would end in an argument. And it would be not uncommon for four-letter words to fly and coming close to the 50 cups and stuff like that. When you're trying to tell somebody, look, my church is the true church, and so this was the norm. This is what I was taught. In fact, to give you an idea, one time and the kids, some of the older kids that aren't here, well, Nick might remember this. We were living in an apartment complex because no one would rent to us because we have so many children. And so we had to go to this apartment complex. One day I'm just sitting, I was messing with the Commodore 64 or something. I just got a computer or something I was messing with, and all of a sudden the kids come running in the house. Daddy, Daddy, there's men outside handing candy out to the kids. Didn't have to tell me twice. I'd shot out of the house like a bullet, and I went out there to see what was going on. And just by their clothing and whatnot and the way they talked, I kind of had a feeling they were Baptist preacher wannabes, you know, young, you know, kids that are out there, like in their 20s. And I was like in my early 20s as well, mid-20s, late-20s. It was just before I left the Catholic Church, so I wasn't 29 yet. These guys, I said, walking up, I said, you know, because the apartment complex was set up in such a way that right behind our house was the park for the kids. So it was like 100 feet. And these guys were walking around handing out the candy bars to the kids and stuff like that, talking to them about Jesus. And I walked up and I said, you know, some of the parents in this complex are going to get a little annoyed you handing out candy to kids. Because this was at the time when the children were being abducted in the area. There was, you know, the Satanist things that was going on. They were taking kids and killing them and using them for sacrifice. They still do it today, but back then it was really, they were really getting crazy. And the guy, I mean, I'm just asking, says, you know, why are you handing out candy to the kids? And he goes, sir, did you baptize your baby at birth? And I said, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, I'm just asking you not to, you know, pass candy out to the children. And he goes, are you a Catholic? So I knew that he was just trying to evangelize me. And I go, yes, I'm a Catholic. And yes, I did baptize my babies at birth. He says, you know, they're going straight to hell? And this was, you know, this is what he said to me. So I can't remember if I grabbed them or not. I really honestly can't say whether or not I grabbed them. But I do remember telling them that, do you want to meet your God right now? And this was my method of evangelism, you know, my Catholic method. I was saying the rosary every day. I was a Eucharistic minister. I went to Mass every morning, and I taught CCD for the church, and here I am threatening this guy's life and thinking I got no problem. You know, the Almighty wants me to do this, you know, because this is how I was taught. And it worked. And so I figured it must be of God, because when I did that, he took off. He just left. So I figured it was a Christ-like method. So, plus, I was taught I had my right to defend my church, even if it meant my death or the other person's death. I went to Catholic parochial school, and we were always taught in the schools that you are a citizen of two nations if you are a Catholic. If you live in the United States of America, you are a citizen of the U.S. as well as a citizen of Rome. This is what we were always taught. And they said, when it came down to it, you would have to stand for Rome before you would stand for your own country. This is what they taught. I remember this as they were terrorizing me, those nuns. Nuns are, you know, there's a reason they're so bitter. So they got real attitudes. So the thing was, I did eventually leave the Roman Catholic Church, because I found in the Bible, I started, you know, looking into the Word. Mainly, I started going into the Scriptures to find out if I could shut these people up that kept coming out of behind parked cars and bushes and calling me on the phone and telling me I'm hellbound because I'm Catholic. And they were using Bibles. And I figured, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, or instruction in righteousness. So I figured I'm going to use their Bible to prove them wrong. Well, everybody knows the story. I ended up within 18 months leaving the church. But and then after I left, I later did some research in regards to the Roman Catholic history of the church. And I found that threatening people's lives was more or less the norm. The history of the church itself, with the persecutions and whatnot, we all know the history just by, you know, looking back in time. We know what the church has done, and it was the norm for the church. And that's why I thought it was so easy for me to do it. But the priests, the main reason is because the priests were doing it, my friends were doing it, and my parents were doing it. That's another reason. And the church is still teaching it today. For example, I don't know if anybody knows about Easton and LaVey. I get their, yeah, you, the lawyers that are suing the Roman Catholic Church right now for the lawsuit right now is in regards to Ustashi, that prison camp where they were testing to see what's an easy way to kill a lot of people. And they ended up on cyanide, of course. But They send me stuff on a monthly basis of what the Catholic Church is doing and what they're being sued for. I have a current events on the site for that. And then the most graphic recent thing that I've seen in modern, in our, well, because this stuff is just back to like World War II and up, but the most recent thing was last year, June 15th, year 2000, I wrote in my one newsletter, it was entitled, Year 2001, Catholic Church says, renounce your faith or die. In Mexico, they were it was set up in such a way in certain neighborhoods because the Catholic Church, their faith will spin off into so many different directions, and so they have these strange festivals. Like in some countries, they burn the saints as they're parading down the streets on a certain day of the year. They'll have these statues that they'll put on fire. Other places, they'll actually have rags soaked in gasoline lit, and they'll throw it at each other as a Christian or Catholic festival. And then they have some other festival. I'm not kidding. I saw videos of them throwing lit rags, and the Lord must be blessing because no one's ever been burned seriously. The rags, you know, but still, they're teaching him this. It's like riots. You know, it's a mock riot. In Mexico, they were having this one thing where they were having these big parties, and at these parties, they would have this grain alcohol that was manufactured locally, and some of the people that came out of the Catholic Church that were evangelizing the truth didn't want any part of this, and because they didn't want any part of this, the neighborhoods and the mayors and the churches started burning some of their homes down. They started threatening their lives, killing their cattle. This was all reported. They were giving them death threats. They never actually killed anybody, but they had plenty of death threats. And then Larry Weathers in Oregon. Most of us know about him. He's the one that had the billboard that said, Pope is the Antichrist. I mean, it was a little pushy. He should have said, is Pope the Antichrist? But still, he said this big billboard. He bought a year's worth for the billboard. And because right off the bat, he's offending people, I guess. But the thing is, it was Pope is the Antichrist, and then a website address. He bought 1 year's worth. Around the 11th month, I think, some Catholic Sentinel, I think it was. Yeah, the Catholic Sentinel. Catholic circular that goes around. Bishops have a lot of comments in it and stuff. Finally got wind of the billboard about the 11th month and then started telling everybody, do everything you can to get the billboard out of here. That's when Larry Weathers reported that he got a flurry of death threats. This is normal for those of us that preach this message that we preach. This is normal for us to receive these kind of things. But it was amazing how it didn't start until their church told them to do it. And they didn't say death threats, but the people took it upon themselves to figure that's what they must mean. Because that's how I felt when I was, when that one guy, I threatened his life. And he wasn't the only guy that I've done that to as a Catholic. This may have a lot to do with it as well. It's also recorded from the mouth of Cardinal Bellarmine. In The Famous Champion of Romanism, cited by Schumacher on page 76, he says this. Experience teaches that there is no other remedy for the evil but to put heretics, and he put, you know, parentheses, to death. For the Romish Church proceeded gradually and tried every remedy. At first, she merely excommunicated them. Afterwards, she added a fine, and then she banished them. And finally, she was constrained to put them to death. I've got a quote, I should have added this one too, where the Catholic Church actually calls putting people to death good behavior. So they don't see anything wrong with this, and this is what we're going to have to get used to, especially in the coming days, when our message becomes extremely unpopular. That's what I'm saying. It's best now to become a Christian, to get that relationship with Christ now, because when it becomes illegal to do so, they're going to be against you. Case in point, the Inquisition that killed, well, it didn't kill millions, I think a few hundred thousand people, because it started late. The Inquisition started late. It was more or less an organization of what they were doing for the 1,000 years already. So, but this is what, this article came out February 1991. Headline, Holy Office Still Exists. The thought of a revived Holy Office of the Inquisition would pacify some and offend others. Nevertheless, the Holy Office still exists, only its name has been changed. Pope John Paul II has been instrumental in its revival. One may argue that this Cardinal Ratzinger-run agency is merely an attempt by the Catholic Church to root out communism or backslidden priests and their practices. However, with John Paul II's objective to implement God's mandate by creating a global church and state, which will administer from traditional Roman Catholic theology, is enough cause for alarm. Malachi Martin, which, by the way, I think he just died. Didn't he just die a couple of days ago? Or a few weeks? A year ago? A year or two? Well, then I'm thinking of somebody else that must have just died. Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, So now they're narrowing it down. John Paul II is pretty, you know, I mean, he's what, 82 now? He's really pushing it. Malachi Martin has already stated in his book, The Keys of His Blood, that the Pope will not tolerate any belief systems that oppose his, not a civil or a church level. And he can, because he's church and state. In John Paul II, the world will behold a tyrant who coldly executes direct orders against those who deems are heretics or immoral. And on March 25th, year 2000, when they did that mea culpa, he called everyone in this room and anyone that's listening online heretics. Those of us that, you know, adhere, you know, or like the fundy definition in the Catholic Church would be heretic. Some people call them fundies and some people call them heretics. I also have an excerpt from the Jesuit oath, but I would have to ask permission from the parents to read this. It's just a small paragraph, but there are some people that haven't heard it before. I don't know if all my kids have heard it yet. This is the official Jesuit oath, and this is just one small paragraph out of it. I've got the whole oath listed. You can get it out of the Subterranean Rome by Charles Didier, or you can actually get it out of the Congressional Record of the United States of America, House Bill number 1523, because it was used in a court case back in February 15th of 1913. This is what it says in the official Jesuit. Now, this is a Roman Catholic Jesuit priest oath. These are the guys that do a lot of the stuff for the Vatican. Kind of like what Hitler used to call his SS. Because Hitler fashioned his hierarchy directly from what he saw in Rome. It says, I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate, to exterminate from them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, waste, boil, flay, strangle, bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls, in order to annihilate forever their excretable race, that when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisoned cup, the strangulating cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, that's the gun. Regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition, public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by any agent of the Pope or the Superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus. How can they put that sentence at the end of that is amazing to me. Now, looking back, I now see, now that I'm walking outside Rome, and I see people that I evangelize, that are in Rome, whether they're Catholic or not, I see myself in them, my old self, about how I used to treat them when they came to me. They all do the same thing. They never use scriptures to back up what they're saying. They always say that I'm giving my opinion when I actually do as Christ does, because that's what most of us that understand truth know, to use scriptures to define scripture. That's how Jesus did it. They give, and they always do this, they always give their opinion, and then they get extremely angry when you use scriptures. And I remember doing this, like, there was this one radio program, and the guy had a three-line ad in the Sunday, or no, South Town Economist. I used to love that paper, because there was that one Father Greeley that was in there. He had this little article that says, Bible Prophecy Update, in a local phone call, for me anyway. It was a Chicago phone number. And I'd call it, and he would preach a Seventh-day Adventist message for like a half an hour, and then it would go beep. It was an answering machine. So I'd leave messages. And I'd have all this evidence and proof. I was beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Catholic Church was the one truth. Never gave him a single verse, but had all the confidence in the world that I was right. And that's what and he would have verse after verse after verse about the Antichrist and what he's doing and what he will be doing and all this other stuff. It was amazing how, and then later on, when I found the truth, I called him back and then thanked him. He never did call me back. I left my phone number, I don't know how many times on that thing, and that guy never called me back. And I praise God for that, because I probably would have gotten in his face and said things that I shouldn't have said. So, and we also have numerous areas in the Word that prove, because I can go through all the scriptures in regards to how Jesus tells us that we will have persecution. You shall see persecution, because, you know, we are hated because they hated Christ first. And it's, like I said earlier, it's not just the Catholics that attack us. Alright? I want to share a few things that I saw happen to me. That's more or less the bulk of the reason I'm coming. Like, some of you have heard some of the things that I'm about to share. I've touched on it before, but there are a few things that I'd like to get into a little more, just because I've been asked numerous times what actually happened. What have I seen since 1985 when I stepped out of the Catholic Church? Well, first thing I saw was physical threats of violence, because that's what I did. I would use physical threats of violence to try to shut people up, to stop them from preaching to me. This church we used to go to, that also preached and understood who Antichrist was, or the organization of Antichrist, but didn't have a grasp on the mark of the beast, where I was introduced as associate and more or less started preaching at Pastor Russ's church. We used to go into these neighborhoods and stuff like that, and I can remember the police harassment that we would receive, the being thrown up against the walls and frisked because we're there sharing this truth, as well as having the car windows broken, tires slashed. There were times, I mean, like when I would go there with Pastor Russ, I would have to literally stay in the car while he went in and then watch the car, make sure everything was okay with it. Because if somebody sat in the car, the odds are they would mess with you, you know, usually. Bob Hastie, remember him? When I rededicated my life and started really getting into doing as he has called me to do, and I really started going forward with this message of exposing Antichrist, this one man I used to hang with, that there was a reason he was in my life at the time, the Lord, there was a reason for this and all that, but we went out to the Cook County prison to share with some teenagers. And as we got there, somebody had painted this garage with Latin Kings paraphernalia all over it, and we thought it was pretty nice looking the way they did it. So we had our photograph taken there. I carried it in my other Bible. And while we were doing that, they were shooting at us. And I didn't know that. I'm used to big guns, okay? They were shooting like 22s or something. But I thought it was firecrackers. And here the guy with the camera, if I remember correctly, is ducking for cover. Me and Bob were standing there. What do you want us to do here? You know, take our picture. What are you getting on the ground for? So I had no idea. It just sounded like firecrackers. He goes, no, man, it's gunfire. So, now this kind of stuff hits a little bit closer to home, and this really cuts my heart sometimes, and I've already promised myself I'm not going to get misty, so it's not going to happen. So, personal property. The thing that bothered me the most, I mean, I've seen how, like, my siblings and stuff have attacked us and my children, and because we left the Catholic Church, and not only did we leave, I was trying to expose it, and that really rubbed them the wrong way, I guess. But the thing that really tore to me the most is, Nicholas, you remember that bike that you had? Where did we get that chrome frame? I don't recall. It was in the garage. Nothing we bought. It was in the garage of a house that we lived in or something. I can't remember. All I remember is going garbage picking to get every part of that bike, to build that bike for you. We had a dynamite frame for this bike. It was solid chrome. It was beautiful. And I used to have a problem with bikes when I was a young kid. As a devout Catholic, I go to church every Sunday, every holy day of obligation. I stole every bike in town. That's what we used to do. It was a normal procedure. My parents could not figure out why the beams in the garage had all these different colors on them, because we used to hang the bikes there and paint them different colors when we stole them. We put this bike together, and it was something that, because at the time, the Lord was dealing with me. He was teaching me how to preach. He teaching me how to have a desire to preach. And I got to such an extent where I was so much involved in the scriptures and wanting to do and Bible studies, and I was even having Bible studies at home, that I didn't even attempt to look for work, which kind of rubbed some people the wrong way. But the thing is, we didn't have a lot of money, and so it felt good that we were able to put this bike together for my son. It was an awesome looking bike. Even my brothers and sisters that had money could not match that bike with the bikes that they bought their kids. And then one day we're coming home from church, and all my siblings are out front of our house and watching two of my nephews jump up and down on my son's bike until he cracked the frame. That was the best part of the bike. I mean, the other parts, we could have just gone in the garbage and got more tires or chains or Fogger crank, you know, the thing that you pedal with, or handlebars or anything. And right there in front of them all. And this was just normal procedure because we were hated because of our love for the truth. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Almost daily, our children were terrorized. And that terrorized my heart too when I saw this. every day something happened where even my parents, it actually got to the point where our children were not allowed in our parents' home. And we had to go in their home to use the laundry facilities, and so we couldn't, so then it cost like $60 or something like that a month just to do laundry. And we didn't have money for this at the time. We don't have money for it now either. But I praise the Lord on when He takes care of His children, because when you look back, you see how these things are handled. There were numerous times. I can tell the kids this now because now they're adults, they understand. But if I would tell them now, like, Daddy cried, they'd get all scared. The old Nick would have gone downstairs and just knocked them all around, slapped everybody around and just got in a big old fight with the whole family and just everybody would have bruises . But I knew I couldn't do anything, and I didn't want to do anything. It was just, I could not believe that what they were doing. They were to my own kids. But they wouldn't do it to me. Because they knew, they always thought this. The old Nick's going to come out, he's going to walk through a wall and beat us all up, or try to anyway, because he can't really beat up a crowd. So I would go into the bathroom and I would stick my face in the towel and cry. And just bawl my eyes out. Because I could not believe that there was nothing I could do to comfort my kids. Nothing. All they could tell them was just learn by this. And I knew they were learning by this. I remember one time Nicholas was walking down the street, and I'm not picking on you today, he just happened, popped in my head again. He's walking down the street and some kid's making fun of his clothing because it was secondhand stuff. And he says, you bum or something. He made fun of his clothing, and I don't know, you were like 8, 9, 10, who knows. And he turned around and told us, yeah, well, I got a mansion in heaven. Does that make any difference what I wear here? And then they tried to take Luke into special education in local schools because he didn't believe in Santa Claus. I had fun with that, though. I went into the school and had fun with that one. Oh, they never mess with us again. But and then this amazed me too. This guy was not a Catholic. All of a sudden, I'm out of the Catholic Church now. I found out about the Sabbath about 8 years ago or 7 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago. It was in beautiful downtown Hillstead where we found out about the Sabbath. And I think that was about 8 years ago. And I have left about 17 years ago, so you do the math. 9 years after I left the Catholic Church, I find out about what the real mark of the beast is. I thought it was a digital angel. Well, digital angel wasn't around yet, but I'm thinking computer chip or barcode. And I even had evidence. I even made a track about it one time where he takes because I smoked Marlboros, and right on the back, on the side of the pack of Marlboros, it had the barcode. And I know on the barcode it has the beginning, the ending, and middle barcodes. He has these codes that they drop down all the way. They still to this day do. And they're all, each one is a 6, because a 6 can be inverted in a computer scanner. A 6, a 7 comes out like an L, a 3 comes out like an E, but a 6 is a number they can, so no matter which way you throw that barcode, it'll let the computer know that, okay, I got to flip this way, or I got to flip that. It's like an eyeball. So I had proof that, look, it's 666 right there on your cigarettes. Everything you buy has these barcodes. Everything you buy has a 666 on it. And I thought that was the mark of the beast. But when I found out what the real mark of the beast was, I more or less wrote this one thing that's now the third section of my book, The Second Window, which all on its own, the name of that book is a story unto itself. But I shared it with that one man. I'm not going to mention his name. He lived outside of the town that we were living in. He was friends. The guy with the dogs. Okay? And I shared it with him. And I said, here, check this out. I was bubbling. I was overwhelmingly excited. I found out what the mark of the beast was. Like I wanted to tell everybody I could. That's the only guy I knew. He just moved into town. So I showed him, right? And I give it to him. It's like 29 pages. I said, here, take a look at this. Read this. Tell me what you think. The next day, the police are in the living room. He calls the police and says, this man, he's talking about me, has his children in cages, and he's feeding them raw meat. So the cop, and here, this is long before I learned how to handle my anger, the cop comes up to the door, and I didn't like cops at the time, right? He's getting in my face, my dogs are jumping at him and barking and snapping at him, he's like, I'm not even stopping the dogs, but I'm yelling at him, I says, you know I'm a Christian, because they knew me, because they check you out when you come into town. And then I apologize to him, says, okay, fine, just come on in, because I yelled at him for like about 2 or 3 minutes. I said, I apologize, I shouldn't have done that. I had them come in. I said, go around. And they're looking through our cupboards. They went up in the bedrooms. They're taking our children off to the side and asking them questions. And he comes up to me and goes, sorry, we got to do this, but we don't believe a word of the thing the man said. But the thing is, the police were in our home the next day because I tried to share with some Christian who was from the Nazarene church what the mark of the beast was. Another case, and after this happened, the kids were all like, you know, they're all scared, and the cops left and said, Danny, we're going to, you know, they're all messing up and getting scared. So Danny, go beat the guy up. I says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to pray for the man, okay? We're going to pray. And we got on our knees, if I remember correctly, because we had a home church at the time since we started. He even came to our home church once, him and his wife and his daughter. And his daughter was best friends with one of our daughters, Mandy, as a matter of fact. And we prayed for him. And I think 2 weeks later, the bank took us home. He became homeless and ended up moving to... Well, before that, he tried to kill himself. And in the course of trying to kill himself, his wife ended up getting hurt. She ended up in the hospital. And that night when it was all going down, his daughter took off with just her pajamas on. She was so scared. Everything that was going down in her home. And they had a beautiful home, big pool, everything. And a garage you could put an airplane in. It was huge. And his daughter ended up like wandering at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And these old people, which I'm going to ask the Almighty when I get there, but I wouldn't doubt if they were angels. This little girl was in danger. She's out walking around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like 35 degrees out. She's in her pajamas, and she was like 4 or 5 miles from home on First Avenue or something like that, or Highway 1. That old man brought her to our home. And until that, her dad, who accused me, came out of the hospital, she stayed at our home, and we took care of her. Another thing is, since starting this message, and I can also see the intricacies of this attack. It's not just Catholics that are going to attack you. And the devil's not going to just come up from you like a bishop or a priest. They're going to come up to you in different ways. For case in point, this one doctor in Danville. When Jillian was young, our oldest daughter, it was found out she had a Baker's cyst in her calf. Right? So it wasn't a calf. And the doctor told us at that time, when she gets older, she gets real tall and stays slender, the Baker's cyst might have pressure on it from her calf, and it might cause pain. If that's the case, bring her in, and whether she wants to or not, they can have it removed. We brought her to this one doctor in Danville. Now this is 10 years later, and I tried, I think, we have it listed 12 times to call him. And because the devil doesn't much care for my ministry or the truth that we share as a family, he somehow got the doctor not to bother calling me back, to where the doctor all of a sudden realized he messed up, thinking my daughter has cancer, and started telling this other doctor that she's got cancer. And then he calls the DCFS on us and saying that we're neglecting our daughter, did not bring her back. And so we had a big problem with that for about a month, until the DCFS found out I was tape recording the phone calls. And they dropped everything. And so, but the doctor, you know, and the DCFS put it in writing that, you know, the doctor wasn't at fault. The fact is, I had phone records. It was just another attack to try to keep us off our mission. Because it was scary. Because I know how the DCF works in the Chicago area. And then one time when I was, this is just another attack here as well. When we moved out here, I got a job doing building maintenance in these apartment complexes for the government. This one woman, well, actually a few of them there bothered me, but usually it was just this one woman. The day I started working there, she comes flying out of her apartment, maybe a week later, screaming, "False prophet, false prophet, get the," and there's a bunch of expletives, "out of here." And I go, "What's your problem, ma'am?" And she just, you know, started yelling about me, and she tried to get me fired like 5 or 6 times from my job, because I was, if anybody asks me a question about my faith, I'm going to answer them. I won't on the job go around and preach, because I am working for the man, if you will, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But if someone asks me a question, I'm going to answer it. And I guess she found out that I was preaching. And it turns out that this woman was evangelized by Seventh-day Adventists once before. Uncle Arthur's books were in her home, as well as the brief Bible readings for the home. Those books were in her home. And she ended up dying in the faith that she was in. It was sad. It was even revealed in advance that she would turn to dust. Because she ended up getting this, where she had the, she did not know where she was at the last 6 months of her life, kind of a incapacitated, you know, some strange disease. But then I am finally fired from that job, because I was having a Bible study in one of the apartments after hours. I was not on the job. They said, "Can you do this?" the Mormons will come over. I'm afraid. Come over and try to reason with the Mormons and see if their faith is correct. So I came over like 7 o'clock in the evening, and the next morning I was fired. You remember that on the phone? She fired me on the phone. That's because she was living, the owner was living in Florida. And when we moved into, now this is another thing, just to try and stop our message, that, you know, the three angels' message from going forth into the area that we were first moving into. When we first moved into Hoopston, the rumor was I was a Satanist, and my daughters were dating some strange man and all this other stuff, and they were pregnant. And we just moved in. No one knew us. Now, who do you suppose started the rumors? It's just weird how these things go. One of the most disturbing things that happened to me since I started sharing this message is I was disowned by my family. I am no longer one of 11. My dad still calls once in a while, but that's about it. Some of my siblings I haven't heard from in like 15 years. I don't know if they're dead or alive. I only find out from my dad if everybody's okay. Past church members, the one church, they tried to destroy our marriage. They tried to remove my, pull my wife and kids away from me. I remember one time watching the pastor say, "Don't listen to him, listen to me," when he was talking about me. He didn't know I was walking by and the door crack was open. I happened to look in the door crack and I saw him do it. He really bothered my, you know, he bothered my wife. I mean, she has a, I mean, I know you forgive him, but, you know, we pray for him constantly. Now that I've got my ministry online and I start sharing on the internet, four Catholic priests started attacking me when I was on America Online. And the only reason I was on America Online because there was nowhere else to hook up in my area, and it had to be a long-distance phone call to do it. Four times they had my service disrupted, and the fifth time they had me permanently removed from America Online because I was going into Catholic chat rooms and asking priests questions. I had a running total. It was like a game for me for a while there. I had 46 priests, and I asked them why. I asked them if they could show me in scriptures where it was authenticated by the Almighty who wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger to remove the second one. Not one single priest could answer that question. And I had other questions as well, but that was my one that I was keeping a total on. Then I get a new ISP. Two Australian Catholic lawyers threatened my new ISP in Cisna, where we live, well, near where we live now. We don't live in Cisna, but... and then the library, the ISP guy calls me and says, you know, we might have to shut you down. I says, all right, what about my First Amendment rights? So they told those guys, and we were never shut down. So instead, now I don't know if this is just trying to stop me or anything, but in prayer the Lord revealed me, find another ISP quickly, as quick as possible. I did. 3 weeks later, the ISP that I originated on was hacked by somebody in China. It was hacked so badly, in fact, that the FBI came into Cisna Park and took the hard drive. And then when I moved to the new ISP, they hacked that one too. And they hacked it twice. But the difference was, the one in Cisna Park, those guys didn't have the security features that ours has now. And so, but the FBI came to the other one in Oxford, Indiana, and took that hard drive too. But twice my website was down for a week. They shut it down. Then I'm offered $6 million to shut my website down and move to Russia. This guy, it's like an organization of these men. He comes up with a fake name saying Elwood P. Suggins is his name. And he had this long letter saying, quit your useless ministry and go to Russia and do something tangible with your life. There's children coming out of orphanages that step out of the orphanage and step right into, you know, prostitution, boys and girls. Go there. We'll give you $6 million to do so. Now, the $6 million will be in my hands. I end up in Russia, then I'll be found in Goshi Park or something, you know, pushing up daisies. I mean, we got daisies in Russia, but I don't know. And then, my location is posted on Catholic news groups with instructions of doing me harm. And then Cindy just saw this happen 2 weeks ago again. They just did it again. So right now, someone is looking for me to... Cindy is, yeah, to keep in track. Because I'm tracking them too. There's a guy that's attacking her now, and he's from Bulgaria. Because we traced right... I got a phone number and everything. He's attacking her... news group thing. He's trying to break her password. The Cindy preaches a lot about this truth too, and on the news groups. And then, now before I became a Christian, I used to hang around witches, so I know a lot about the vexes and hexes and all these other strange things that they think they can do. I am now receiving in my email, and it hasn't gone on for a while, but I used to get these vexes in my email. Where they're, when you read it, you're supposed to, like, if they trick you into reading it, you're more or less throwing the vex. Yeah, okay. How about I read it to you, okay? Because it really doesn't affect the child of God. And then, it's about a little over a dozen death threats to this date. Now, this is all because of the message, the three angels' message. I'm just trying to share with you that this is what I have gone through. And some of the kids have seen some of these things as well. And in the audio chat, four death threats so far. In fact, now, that doesn't make any sense to me, why someone would threaten my life in front of like 30 people. That didn't make sense to me when they would do that. And then the message board, this is another attack that they did. Me and a friend who I call Lou, I never knew his last name. This kid is a computer hacker. He's learning to be a computer hacker. But this kid has got a gift, an evangelistic gift. And I kept telling him, man, quit your job and go out there and preach. We ended up creating these 400 in-depth prophetic Bible studies. Because all we were doing is we had this message board set up like similar to the message board I got now. But the message board I have now, it's a little easier to watch. And back then it was set up to where some people would come in, mostly Catholics would come in and ask questions in regards to the faith. And then I would answer them using prophetic, or Lou would answer them. We would both answer them. We had something like 400 Bible studies proving, because some Catholics would come in and say, well, this is what it really means. And then we would take their statement and use scriptures, and we had like 400 of these. Well, the Catholics came in with these pornography graphics, gay and regular, and then when the message board owners found out about it, they deleted my message board. All 400 Bible studies went away. And the thing is, we were able to get the pictures off within an hour or two. They would put them on, I'd get a phone call, I'd run, boom, get them off. Because they were attacking us just because they knew if the owners found out that these pictures were there, they'll delete your message board. And they threatened my family on the message board more than once. I am sent disgusting insults and hate email on a regular basis. Right now I've got 40 hate mails listed on my website in my hatred page. I just checked last night for the sake of illustration. Out of them I've got 700 backlogged yet. Actually 673 to be exact. I've killed at least 100 viruses. I mean, I can go on and on. There's so many. It's already well into it here. But the thing is, there are so many things that I have seen in just the last war, actually, since starting coming to this church, too. When we started coming here, the attacks started getting a little worse, too. Plus the attacks that you see here. You know, because we are a threat to the enemy. And I want to let everybody know that when you share this message, to expect these attacks, because I see a lot of people asking me, especially on Pal Talk, I want to share the three angels message. What do I have to look out for? And most of them say, can I see your hatred page to get an idea as to what I'm in for? Because I says, okay, but I want to forewarn you, I didn't delete any of the naughty words. I left the emails the way they were, and I only put, I think, one or two death threats in there. Just to filter it a little bit, you know, just give it some seasoning. But it's just amazing how it has gone from worse to even worse. Oh, and the Fire Talk attacks. I remember on Fire Talk. Did you ever use Fire Talk? How about you, Pastor? Did you ever use Fire Talk? That was about 3 years ago, I think. There was this guy who used to come in every minute, once a minute, and all this verbal attack in the room. But because Fire Talk was set up where you can do that. Recently, now this is what's really starting to bother me, because they are starting to find out where I'm trying to find out where I live. They already found out. They also posted your picture and my picture on the internet, Pastor's picture, and yours is on the internet now. Yeah. And I'm not going to mention his name. Fisher144, for those of you that are, you know. But anyway, it's, they have, you know, they know more or less where we're at, but these Jesuits, I found out they're Jesuits because we have an ex-Jesuit friend. They are now starting to spread rumors that like David Koresh number two. I says, what? Now that's a death threat as far as I'm concerned. You start a rumor like that, what's going to happen? The ATF's going to try and kill me. As far as I'm concerned, that's a death threat against me and my wife and kids. And they've said that quite a few times in the news groups and wherever else. One time I was offered to speak on a radio program in Rhode Island. The offer was pulled after I gave them a demo that they wanted. Because he came into my rooms on Yahoo Messenger and says, I want you to preach on the radio. I says, all right. So I sent him a demo, and he goes, I can't put that on the radio. I says, well, that's my message. He says, I'll lose my radio station. But then now we are doing this on a local radio station. But the thing that I praise the Lord the most of is, even with all these attacks, we have perfect peace. Nothing to worry about. Numerous miracles. I love the dream thing too, you know. I don't want to get into that, but I love the dream thing. I think that is so nice that we are told sometimes in advance. I have seen numerous Catholics leaving the Roman Catholic Church. Even if it was just one, it's all well worth it. It reminds me of that one man, I don't know if I told you this before, about the guy that went to China because the Lord kept telling him. This one man, this was a true story I read out of some book, how the man had this best friend he lived with, hung with his whole life, and then all of a sudden they split and became adults. And then his best friend ended up being in New York, and then he was in China. And the Holy Spirit kept telling him, go speak to your friend about me. Over and over again, he kept blowing it off. He says, man, come on, it's the other side of the world. I have to cruise all the way to New York. Finally, he did. And he went over there, and he was sharing with his best friend in his New York lawyer office or something like that. And his friend accepted the Lord, his Savior. He accepted him, and he stepped out, and they went out to have lunch. And he's just bubbling with excitement because he just accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he just can't contain himself. He's, you know, like he's walking through the lobby and he's talking about Jesus to people as they're walking out. He's just really excited. And he walks outside and he goes, you know, I never realized how beautiful creation is. And he's in the concrete jungle, New York City. And but he just sees the sky. He goes, look at how beautiful the sky is. And he has a heart attack and he drops dead. Now, if that man never did what the Holy Spirit told him to do, could you imagine the guilt that would have been? Or forget the guilt, a soul would have been lost. But the main thing is that I love the way when a child does the will of his father, that the prayers get answered. So I praise God for that, and I praise God for this church, because the opportunity to come up here to share these truths with others is, and I'm sorry I went a little bit long. I could have gone further, but I noticed that I didn't realize I was talking that long, you know, because I still got a lot of things I didn't share. But I don't want to sit up here for 2 hours. Is it all right? Part four, yeah. So this is just, you know, this is just another, for those of you that online, this is just one more speck of my testimony that I've seen, the things that I've seen. And I just praise the Lord that He allows some of us to see these things, because it helps us to grow and helps us to get closer to Him, to be better ambassadors for Christ. So bow your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for this opportunity once again to share with others some of the things that You have allowed me and my wife and our children to see firsthand. And even some of our church family here have seen some of the things too, because they're happening now in our area as well. How the attack is just so intense. We thank You, Father, too, for blessing us with an opportunity to share this globally. Thank You for Talpa. And thank You for blessing the hearts that are in there too with this truth and giving them an opportunity to hear these things, especially Your word. The prophetic facts are so awesome. No psychic could match any of this stuff. You 100% answer it. It's just uncanny. You can't even contemplate how Your prophecy is so perfect. So thank You for blessing us with these prophecies and letting us know in advance so that when the attack does come, we can be ready for it. And thank You for blessing us with the latter rain too, Father. We need to be ready for that. So thank You for chipping away at our dross or whatever it is that's causing us to be lesser images of Your Son. Help us to become, help us to have the mind and the heart of Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray.